Yamunatira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Puri Vrajak Acharya Ashtotra Shata Shishimad His Divine Grace Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaura Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 11, Text 2. Tataiva Rajan Urugar Hameda. Vitani Vidyoru Vidrimbiteshu. Naveda Vadeshu Hitatva Vadha. Prayena Shudhonu Chakasti Sadhu. Tataiva Rajan Urugar Mahedha. Vitana Vidyoru Vijimbiteshu. Naveda Vadeshu Hitatva Vadha. Prayena Shudhonu Vichasti Sadhu. Please chant. Tataiva Rajam Urugarhaneda. Vitana Vityoru Vijimbiteshu. Yeshuhi Tatpavadaha. Madhujis, Tata, therefore, eva, indeed, Rajan, O King, Urugarhamedha, rituals related to material household life, Vitana Vidya, in knowledge that expands, Uru, very greatly, Vijimbiteshu, among those interested, na, not, Vedavadeshu, who speak the version of the Vedas, he, indeed, Tattvavadaha, the spiritual science, Prayena, almost always, Shuddha, free from all contaminated activities. Nu, indeed, Chakasti, appear, Sadhu, a person who has advanced in devotional service. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. My dear King talks of the relationship between the master and the servant, the king and the subject, and so forth, are simply talks about material activities. People interested in material activities, which are expounded in the Vedas, are intent on performing material sacrifices and placing faith in their material activities. For such people, spiritual advancement is definitely not manifest. Purport. In this regard, two words are significant, Veda Vada and Tattva Vada. According to Bhagavad Gita, those who are simply attached to the Vedas and who do not understand the purpose of the Vedas or the Vedanta Sutra are called Veda Vada Rataha. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say there is nothing more than this. Bhagavad Gita 2:42 and 2:43. The Vedavada, followers of the Vedas, are generally inclined to karma kanda, the performance of sacrifice according to the Vedic injunctions. They are thereby promoted to higher planetary systems. They generally practice the Chaturmasya system. One who performs the Chaturmasya Yajna becomes pious. By becoming pious, one may be promoted to the higher planetary systems. Urdvam gachanti sattvasta. Some of the followers of the Vedas are attached to karma kanda, the fruitive activities of the Vedas, in order to be promoted to a higher standard of life. Others argue that this is not the purpose of the Vedas. In this world, someone may become very highly elevated by taking birth in an aristocratic family, by becoming well-educated, beautiful, or very rich. These are the gifts for pious activities enacted in the past life. However, these will be finished when the stock of pious activity is finished. If we become attached to pious activities, we may get these various worldly facilities in the next life and may take birth in the heavenly planets. But all this will eventually be finished. Kshine punya marti lokam vishanti, Bhagavad Gita 9:21. When the stock of pious activity is finished, one again has to come to this martyaloka. According to the Vedic injunctions, the performance of pious activity is not really the objective of the Vedas. The objective of the Vedas is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Vedaischa savaraham eva veda. The objective of the Vedas is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are Vedavadis are not actually advanced in knowledge, and those who are followers of Jnana Kanda, Brahman understanding, are also not perfect. However, when one comes to the platform of Upasana and accepts the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes perfect. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param. In the Vedas, the worship of different demigods and the performance of sacrifice are certainly mentioned, but such worship is inferior because the worshippers do not know that the ultimate goal is Vishnu. Nate vidu svarta katim hi Vishnum. When one comes to the platform of Vishnur aradhanam or bhakti yoga, one has attained the perfection of life. Otherwise, as indicated in the Bhagavad Gita, one is not a tattvavadi, but a Vedavadi, a blind follower of the Vedic injunctions. A Vedavadi cannot be purified from material contamination unless he becomes a tattvavadi, that is, one who knows the tattva, the absolute truth. Tattva is also experienced in three features: Rameti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti shabdite. Even after coming to the platform of understanding tattva, one must worship Bhagavan, Vishnu, and his expansions, or one is not yet perfect. Bahunam janmanam ante, gyanavam mam prapadyate. After many births, one who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto Krishna. The conclusion is that unintelligent men with a poor fund of knowledge cannot understand Bhagavan, Raman, or Paramatma. But after studying the Vedas and attaining the understanding of the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is supposed to be on the platform of perfect knowledge. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that there's a gradual system of elevation for strongly attached persons. Most persons in this material world naturally are attached. That's why we came here. And most people are not really very much inclined to give up their material desires. Devotees are unusually intelligent people. Those who actually become devotees of the Lord are unusually intelligent because they have noticed that material desires simply cause suffering. By being attached to material enjoyment, we have to undergo all the other problems of material existence. You can't get the enjoyment of material existence without suffering the downside, the defects of material existence, with which we are all familiar in nauseating detail. So a person who's actually intelligent, he's thinking, how can I get rid of material desires rather than how to increase material desires or satisfy them in an ornate and ritualistic fashion, even up to the standard of Svargaloka. An intelligent person thinking, I want to get rid of these material desires. But that's not an easy thing to do because we've been addicted to them for billions of lifetimes. How to get free? So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 2:59 that by experiencing the higher taste, param dristva then nivartate, one gives up the lower taste. So the whole aim of someone who's actually intelligent is how to get the higher taste. And what does that mean? How to get Krishna's mercy. So there are so many nice songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Narottam Das Thakur that they're always praying, oh, hey, Vaishnava Thakur, begging for the mercy of Krishna and his pure devotees. That's what the philosophy boils down to. If you want to get the essence is simply begging for Krishna's mercy and the mercy of the pure devotees. And actually, the mercy of the pure devotees is more relevant because Krishna doesn't directly give his mercy. He works through his pure devotees. We see this in many cases. In the first canto, there's a famous verse where Vidura is addressed as a walking place of pilgrimage. Persons of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage. Just by being a pure Vaishnava, you're actually carrying Krishna in your heart. Krishna is in everyone's heart, but he's not very happy about being in a heart which is as contaminated as a cesspool. So Krishna is so kind, he doesn't leave anyone's heart. That's a fact. That's his glorious quality. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if you do the most horrendous activities, even Hitler or Stalin, Krishna doesn't abandon them. He makes an appropriate program for their purification. Or the thieves who tried to rob Lord Nityananda, described in Antikanda of Chaitanya Bhagavat, some murderous and ruthless thieves of the lowest caliber made a deliberate plan to rob the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda was decorated with a fantastic array of jewels and gold and diamonds and rubies and silk. This was the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and actually this is very effective because the good people were attracted to Nityananda because of his giving out ecstatic love of God. But the rascals who are not interested in love of God, they would be attracted by wealth, by opulence. So Lord Nityananda dressed like a first-class king, like a prince. He was so arrayed with an incredible arsenal of jewelry that it's described by Vrindavan Das Thakur that as Balaram carries a plow and a club, Lord Balaram has two implements that he carries. So Nityananda carried two metal rods, but they were so studded with jewels and diamonds that you couldn't even see the metal. It's just like a massive array of emeralds and rubies and diamonds. Absolutely incredible. Each one of those rods alone would be worth Fort Knox. So that the thieves, they said, wow, this is incredible. If we just do this one job, then we're set for life. We don't have to work anymore. This is definitely... we can't miss out on this opportunity. So Lord Nityananda is omniscient. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he knew very well what they were thinking. They joined the kirtan and pretended to be dancing in ecstasy. They were deliberate rascals and rogues. The only ecstasy they may have felt, or whatever little ecstasy, was their anticipation of stealing all the jewels. So Nityananda, he knew all this, so he was dancing. Nityananda was dancing in ecstasy, and it's described by Vrindavan Das Thakur that simply by his glance he would inject love of God into the hearts of all pious people, or normal people, people who are not extremely sinful. When they came in contact with Nityananda, Lord Nityananda, just by glancing at them, their hearts would begin to jubilate and feel ecstatic love. Just an ordinary person on the street, if they were not excessively sinful. And they would just become devotees instantly. This is how Nityananda preached in Bengal. Actually, Nityananda did not want to preach in Bengal. He was so attached to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After they met, after a long separation, Nityananda appeared before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he stayed in Sri Vrindavan Dham in the mood of a little boy, a cowherd boy. And Lord Nityananda was just rolling in the dust of Vraj Bhumi, just coating his body with the dust and rolling in ecstasy and just remembering the pastimes that he performed with Krishna as Balaram 5,000 years earlier. And he just stayed there for decades, for a long time, maybe not decades, but many years. Nityananda just stayed in Vrindavan waiting for the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He didn't begin preaching. Neither did Advaitacharya begin preaching. All the great devotees were simply waiting for the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when the order appeared within the heart, then Nityananda came from Sri Vrindavan to Navadvip, but he hid in the house of Nandanacharya. No one could detect him, actually. When the Supreme Lord wants to hide, no one can detect him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told the devotees, a great personality has come to Navadvip. You should go and look for him. Haridas and Shivas, go out and look around the town and bring back Nityananda. So they went for 9 hours. They're looking here and there. They looked in the houses of all the pious people. Naturally, that's a good place to start. And then, after going through all the houses, they even looked in the houses of all the impious materialists. They went literally everywhere. They couldn't find Nityananda. So they came back and they reported, "We cannot find this great personality, O Lord." And Lord Chaitanya smiled and he said, "Come with me." So Lord Chaitanya is also omniscient. He went directly to the house of Nandanacharya. And there was this incredibly effulgent and tall, Lord Nityananda is physically very tall, very powerful. He's described as the great wrestler. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes him as the great wrestler. So he was there in the house of Nandanacharya. When Lord Chaitanya came in and saw Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya began experiencing ecstatic emotions. "Here is Nityananda, my life and soul." We are like one person in two bodies, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say. Nityananda was initially absorbed in trance. He was not in external consciousness, but when he finally saw Lord Chaitanya, he was just absorbed in ecstasy, and the two lords embraced each other for hours. They were drenching each other in each other's tears. Tears of love were drenching each other's clothes. Then they began a huge kirtan. All the devotees were dancing in ecstasy, rolling on the ground, and kirtan went for hour after hour after hour. Then Lord Chaitanya gave the order to spread the Sangirtan mission in Navadvip. And after that, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri. And all the devotees went with him because no one wanted to leave the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Nityananda was with Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, and they were all having huge kirtans. Everyone was feeling the highest inspiration. It was essentially the spiritual world. Wherever Gaur Nitai or Krishna Balaram reside, that's the spiritual world. But they got completely lost in the ecstasy for many years. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "What about the rest of India? How will the rest of India be delivered?" He told Nityananda, "You must go back to Bengal." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself chose South India as his preaching field. And also Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya made one trip to Western India and Vrindavan and a trip to South India. But he assigned the place of service to Nityananda would be actually Bengal, where they began in their earlier leelas. Bengal was being neglected because they had all come down with Lord Chaitanya to Jagannath Puri. So Nityananda, he heard the order of Lord Chaitanya, "You must go to Bengal," and Nityananda's heart was crestfallen. He felt, "But I just want to be with you forever. But it is your order. Even if it causes me unhappiness, I must do the order. I must do your mission." So Lord Nityananda circumambulated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Nityananda several very exalted associates. Actually, they're cowherd boys from Vrindavan, such as Parameshvara and Uddharana Thakur and Abhiram Thakur. Actually, it's described that Abhiram Thakur had a whip called the Jai Mangal. And he would lovingly and gently whip people with the Jai Mangal, and as soon as they were touched by the whip of Abhiram Thakur, they received ecstatic love of God. Such is the caliber of these devotees. These are not neophyte devotees, they're all Nityasiddhas, actually. All of the associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, these are Nityasiddha Vaishnavas, and they carry the same potency as the Supreme Lord Himself. They're actually empowered to distribute Krishna consciousness. So Abhiram Thakur, all he had to do was touch you with his whip and you would receive ecstatic love of God. Or Vasudev Dat was such a great personality, even without a whip, if a breeze touched Vasudev Dat and then touched you, you became ecstatic in love of God. That's why there are so many verses and so many pastimes and songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And the others, like Nityananda Pran had us sing one song a couple days ago by Narottam Das Thakur, where you're just praying to the great pure devotee. You have Krishna. Krishna is your property. If you give Krishna, he's actually sold. You have the power to give Krishna to anyone. Actually, Narada Muni, the very name Narada, means one who... Da means to give, and Nara is short for Narayan. He's so empowered, he can give Narayan to anyone. So the essence of Vaishnava philosophy is how to serve pure devotees, how to very diligently and conscientiously follow the instructions and carry out the mission of the topmost Vaishnavas. That's the entire essence of this Vaishnava theology. So Lord Nityananda is given devotees of these caliber. Actually, it's described there are 12 principal gopas, cowherd boys, associates of Balaram and Krishna. And all of them came in various forms to assist Lord Nityananda. Nityananda's associates are mainly cowherd boys, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates are mainly gopis. So these empowered gopas, now transformed into sannyasis and preachers, they came with Lord Nityananda. But their preaching was very unconventional. They didn't talk very much. They would just have a roaring kirtan and everyone's heart would begin to melt in love of God. Such is their pastimes. But on the way, as they were going from Jagannath Puri back to Navadvip, the great devotees, sometimes they would go into trance. Like Abhiram Thakur would just go into trance in the middle of the road, and for 9 hours he would assume a threefold bending form, just a form like Krishna's, playing the flute in Vrindavan while a raging, roaring kirtan was going on. Everyone would simply be mesmerized by the kirtan. And they couldn't find their way back. It actually took them months to get back, when normally it would only take a couple of weeks, because they kept getting lost. They would ask the local people, which is the road to Navadvip? And the people would say, oh, you took the wrong turn. You're 20 miles off track, so you have to go all the way back. So they would turn around and go back. But again, they would become bewildered by divine ecstasy and they couldn't find their way. Vrindavan Das Thakur says that they were oblivious even to their bodies, what to speak of the directions. They didn't even eat anything for months. No eating, no sleeping, just kirtan. They were simply enlivened entirely by kirtan. And even children, little children who joined the party, the children were fasting and uprooting huge trees. They were running around in ecstasy, grabbing hold of a tree and yanking it out of the ground, a huge 100-foot-tall tree. These little 5-year-old kids were yanking them out of the ground and throwing them around in ecstasy. This is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, in Anchakanda. So when Nityananda finally arrived with his entourage in Navadvip and other parts of Bengal, he would just have a huge kirtan. That was his preaching strategy. He didn't speak very much. His potency was such he didn't need to say anything. Just seeing Nityananda was enough to enliven everyone's heart. And for those who were so impious that they couldn't be attracted by ecstatic love, they were attracted by the jewelry that Lord Nityananda was wearing. So this particularly murderous band of thieves, headed by a former Brahmin — when Brahmins become degraded, they're very dangerous because they have Brahma Tejas, lots of crafty intelligence or power. So this Brahmin used all of his intelligence to rob and steal. And he was dancing near Nityananda, pretending to be in ecstasy, and just evaluating all the different jewels. And then after the kirtan, the thieves, they retreated to one point in the forest, and they began speaking. And the chief dacoit said, "Goddess Durga has brought a treasure trove in one place. If we simply rob this avadut Nityananda, all of our will be set for the rest of our life." Then the thieves began quarreling. One said, "The turban is mine." Another said, "The bracelets are mine. The anklets are mine. The bangles are mine." They began mentally dividing up the property of Nityananda. But actually they were meditating on the transcendental form of Nityananda. This is called agyata sukriti, unknowing pious, or in this case, devotional activities. And even agyata sukriti is very powerful, or namabhas, chanting in namabhas without offense. All of these things are extremely purifying. They have an effect of dissolving our false ego imperceptibly. You may not notice how you're being purified, but you're actually being purified. So they were retreating in the forest and discussing all these things, and they crept up to the house where Nityananda was staying, the house of Nandanacharya. And they couldn't enter the house because a roaring kirtan was going practically all night. So they were thinking, "We'll just wait until the kirtan ends and then we can come in and rob all the kirtaniyas and the avadut himself." And as they retreated a little bit to the forest and they were meditating on the different property of Nityananda, Lord Nityananda sent Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep, and made them all fall asleep instantly. And they didn't wake up till the next day. It was hot, the sun was high in the sky, and they were just laying there with their weapons in the forest. And they began quarreling violently. "You fell asleep first. No, you were supposed to stay awake. How can we fall asleep on a job like this? It's impossible." They began quarreling violently. This is the nature of low-class persons. They're eager to blame everyone else, but never accept the blame for themselves. So the chief of these dacoits said, "Stop quarreling. The cause is not external. The reason is we didn't worship Goddess Durga satisfactorily. We haven't satisfied the goddess. That's why we failed." So they began, they got wine and they brought some animals. They killed the animals. It was horrible, actually, the kind of yagya they do to worship the goddess Durga. Sometimes they would skin the animals and offer them to the goddess. So this is the kind of people we're dealing with. So after doing the huge Durga puja, they thought they would surely be successful. They armed themselves. Each thief was armed with 5 murderous weapons: tridents, swords, daggers. They approached the house again, and just as they were about to enter the house, thinking that this time they would be surely successful, giant guards appeared out of nowhere. Each guard, as described, was close to 3 meters tall. They were huge, and they were powerful, and they each carried a sword, a naked sword in their hands, and they chanted the Hare Krishna mantra in ecstasy as they circumambulated the house. And the thieves thought, "Oh no, what is this? All of a sudden these giant guards, where did these guards come from?" They regrouped again and they calculated and analyzed that each guard alone, one guard alone was enough to kill all of them. They were so huge and powerful and so fired up. And they were each chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in ecstasy. And they had long flower garlands. It looked actually like they were coming straight out of Vaikuntha. So again the thieves began quarreling violently among themselves. They said, "What happened now? We did all the pious yagyas to Goddess Durga. How come we failed?" Another thief said, "I've heard from many people that this Nityananda is a great Goswami. He has mystic powers." And another thief said, "You fool, how can he be a Goswami when he has such opulent dress? He must be a Vishayi, a sense enjoyer like us. How can he have such mystic power?" So they began calculating and analyzing in different ways. And finally the chief Brahmin dacoit, he said, "Stop quarreling. I know the reason. The king has come and these are his personal bodyguards. There's nothing mystical going on. Everything is perfectly normal. The king has come to see the avadut Nityananda and he brought his personal guards with him. So we'll just wait a few days and all the guards will be gone." So again, they did a huge Durga puja and they oiled their weapons and they waited a few days and they thought, "Now we'll surely be successful." So they came on the third attempt. And the night was very dark. There was no kirtan. There were no guards. They thought, now we're surely going to be successful. Just as they were about to enter the house, all of a sudden they became blind. Their eyes completely lost the power of vision. And then, out of nowhere, giant thorny bushes appeared with huge, long, razor-sharp thorns. So as they tried to move, and it was they were terrified because all of a sudden they couldn't see. And every motion they made, they were being cut by razor-sharp thorns. So they're being entangled in these thorny bushes. And then giant mosquitoes appeared out of nowhere with long stingers and began. Hundreds of mosquitoes attacked each thief. And they began screaming. And they couldn't move. They couldn't run away because every move they made, they were being torn apart by these razor-sharp thorns of the thorny bushes. But that was just the beginning. Then giant leeches appeared, blood-sucking leeches appeared out of nowhere. Hundreds of leeches attacked each thief and began sucking their blood ruthlessly and brutally. And they were screaming. They couldn't do anything. They're completely helpless and blind. And then Indra became very angry because Indra was worshipping Nityananda, and he was very angry that these thieves were going to try to rob his master. So he sent a freezing rainstorm. And of course in Bengal it's very warm, so no one was prepared, and they were all shivering and freezing to death. And then, that was not enough, Indra made the rain turn into big chunks of ice. So the ice was pounding down and breaking their bones. And they were screaming and they were blind and they couldn't move, and the leeches were sucking their blood and the mosquitoes were attacking them. And then scorpions appeared. Giant scorpions attacked them again, stinging them brutally. So at this point, they were practically dead. They were suffering the tortures of Yamaraj. And finally, the chief dacoit, he began to realize Nityananda must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as he began to meditate on Nityananda, all of a sudden, the thorny bushes disappeared, the scorpions disappeared, the freezing rainstorm and chunks of hail disappeared. Their eyes regained the power of vision simply by meditating on Nityananda in a devotional mood. They actually became purified. All of these ghastly tortures were arranged by the Supreme Lord just to purify them. For good people, that's not needed. For the good people, they were automatically attracted to Lord Nityananda. But for the rascals and the dacoits and the rogues and murderers, but Lord Nityananda was so kind, he didn't neglect them. He just arranged the right circumstances to purify them. So when they're purified of their false egos, then they also became humble and pious, and then they recognized Nityananda's glories, and they were eager to surrender to Nityananda. But they were bleeding, they were bloody, so they crawled to the Ganga. They had to bathe. They crawled to the Ganga and bathed themselves, and then they crawled to the house where Nityananda was waiting, and the devotees were thinking it was a trick. The devotees were still thinking the thieves were making another trick to attack. But Nityananda, being omniscient, he knew that the thieves' hearts were actually transformed. So they crawled into the house and they cried loudly, "O Lord, forgive us. We are the lowest. We're the most sinful. We wanted to rob your jewelry. What will be our destination? To which hell will we have to be sent because of this horrendously abominable activity?" And Nityananda said, "Now you are all forgiven. You are my devotees. I can see your heart." And Nityananda placed his two lotus feet on the head of the chief dacoit, Brahman, and that Brahman became mad with ecstatic love. He became wild with divine love and began chanting in ecstasy, jumping and dancing. They had a huge kirtan. All the rascals and former rascals and thieves were dancing with the devotees, and they had a massive, huge kirtan. And after all that, after the long kirtan was over, Nityananda gave his own garland to the chief, former dacoit. And that dacoit, he began offering prayers to Nityananda. He said, "I'm so sinful. Your body is the purifier of the three worlds. Your expansion and antasesh is so powerful. He holds all the universes on his hoods and he doesn't even know where the universes are. They're so small compared to antasesh is so powerful. He can't even tell if he's holding them or not. Each one is like a mustard seed on one of his hoods. Such is the power of Anantasesha, is an expansion of Balaram, who is identical with Nityananda." So the eloquent prayers were being offered. And after the conclusion of the prayers, the chief former dacoit was saying, I feel so bad, even though you've forgiven me. And technically speaking, you've taken all my karma, because Nityananda said, now I've taken all your karma away. So technically speaking, he was purified, but he felt so bad in his heart. He said, let me drown myself in the Ganga. I don't deserve to go on living. I'm so sinful, such a sinful person. Nityananda said, no, you're actually my devotee or my servant. And I have much work to be done. You must preach to all the other dacoits. You have to form a dacoit sankirtan party. And instead of robbing from village to village, you have to sing the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach the religious process for this age, the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Go forth and deliver the other thieves. Now you have valuable experience in how to be a thief. So you know how they're thinking. You can deliver them. You can preach to them. And it's natural that we will preach to the kind of people that we associated with before. If we were scientists or intellectuals, we'll naturally try to deliver that category of persons. Or if we were other types of musicians, we can relate to those kind of people. So these dacoits became very efficient. They were expert preachers, as described. And they converted many other rascals and demons in Bengal. And to top it off, here's the most amazing thing of the whole pastime. Vrindavan Das Thakur says that the kind of love that Nityananda gave to these former rascals is the kind of love of the residents of Vrindavan, the gopas and the gopis of Raj Dham. In other words, they didn't just get some neophyte position as a sadhaka. They didn't even get Vaikuntha, they got Golok of Vrindavan. In the mood of the cowherd boys and the gopis, they became pure residents of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Their hearts were jubilating with ecstasy. That which the kings of yoga yearned to achieve was handed out by Nityananda on the streets to the lowest caliber of person. This is the incredible pastimes of Gaur Nitai, is that they're giving the highest thing to the very lowest persons. And we know Lord Chaitanya even delivered animals, what to speak of low human beings. When Lord Chaitanya was going through the Jarikanda forest, the forest of Jarikanda, he had to go by an unknown route because the devotees wanted to follow him. Again, this was Lord Chaitanya's attempt to go to Vrindavan. He tried several times to go to Vrindavan. Each time the devotees would trick him and cheat him. Cheating can even be a kind of devotional service. Because the devotees were so eager to get the association of the Lord. How can you finally get the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And to lose that association, they would do anything. Like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy, for 2 years they cheated Lord Chaitanya. They said, yes, yes, you can go to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya was so humble, he would ask permission. Consider this, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he would humbly go to the devotees, he would ask, please give me permission to go to South India on a tour, or please give me permission to go to Sri Vrindavan Dham. This is inconceivable. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is asking your permission to go on a tour. This is how much the Lord loves His devotees. How much He respects and worships His own devotees. In the purport of today's purport, Prabhupada quoted one verse, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. That's a famous verse spoken by Lord Shiva to Parvati, in which it is being said, Aradhananam, that means of all forms of worship, Aradhananam Sarvesham, of all forms of worship, Vishnur Aradhanam Param. Worship of Vishnu is the supreme Param, the supreme kind of worship. Vishnur Aradhanam Param. But even higher than that is worship of Tadiyanam. Lord Shiva says in the next line of the verse, Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Samarchan, the highest kind of worship of all is Tadiya, and that means things in relationship with Krishna. Tadiyanam. Those things in relationship with Krishna. But if we analyze deeply, there are no things, they're all personalities. Everything is personified. Only in the material world, only in the lower, inferior stages of consciousness, is there dull, inert matter, like plastic or wood. That's for the prison house, for the prisoners. Unfortunately, we're among the prisoners. This is an aspect of Vaishnava theology that may be unpalatable, but it is the actual fact. Why do our bodies get sick and old? Why would Krishna do that to good persons? So we have to admit that we're not good persons. That's just the realities of the situation. We're actually in the category of the dacoits and thieves and rascals. But the Lord is so kind, if you just take to the process of devotional service, then one can immediately transcend. The Lord does not hold your past against you. We were prisoners. We have a material body. Because in our previous lives, we had the dacoit mentality. We want to rip off Krishna. We want to enjoy Krishna's property. But if you want to rip off Krishna, Krishna's so clever, you get ripped off. You can't cheat Krishna. Just as soon as you begin the thinking process, I want to cheat Krishna, you yourself become cheated. Krishna is so expert. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna lists various attributes, his attributes in describing how neophytes can see him in the material energy. The 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So among cheats, Krishna is the greatest cheater of all. Prabhupada says, no one can be more deceitful than Krishna. There's a purport there in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna wants to cheat you, he can really cheat you. We're cheated. We have this material body. We thought we were going to get ahead of the game, and here we wind up on Martya Loka. That's another term Prabhupada used in the purport. Martya, from which the English words mortality, mortuary, these words mean death. Martya Loka means the place of death. So we thought we would rip off Krishna, but we got ripped off really good, so we wind up here in Martya Loka with these physical bodies, which are simply suffering. There's nothing but suffering in the material world, punctuated by brief, short experiences of sense gratification, which bewilder the fools into thinking that it's actually enjoyment. You get 2 seconds of enjoyment and 23 hours and 59 minutes and 58 seconds worth of suffering, and you think, oh, I'm enjoying the material energy. This is how the fools are bewildered or cheated. So, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not treat the good persons in the same way. As soon as we become Vaishnavas, he has so much respect, he comes to you and he begs you, please let me go to Vrindavan. Just see the disparity. As soon as you reach the higher stages of consciousness, then the Lord will come and beg you, please, can I go to Sri Vrindavan Dham? So he begged Sarvam Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy and Sarvam Bhattacharya, they're pure devotees, the topmost intimate associates. They couldn't say no. How can you say no to God? No, you can't go. So they said, yes, but please, this festival is coming up. Janmashtami is coming up now, so you can go just after Janmashtami. So then they had a huge Janmashtami festival. Everyone's dancing in ecstasy. You can't imagine what a festival with Lord Chaitanya is all about. Everyone forgot their own body. That's described in Anchalila. When they had a huge roaring kirtan, it would start at Mangalartik. And even by late afternoon, 12 hours later, the kirtan was roaring and everyone forgot about their body and their home and their mind. Isn't that great? Forget about your body and your mind. This is actually the goal. This is a real kirtan. When the kirtan is over, you forgot about your body. You forgot about your mind. You become oblivious. The external world fades into oblivion. That's how Vrindavan Das Thakur describes the kirtans. The external world fades into oblivion. So the Janmashtami festival was indescribable. Everyone they were completely free from their body and their mind, and Lord Chaitanya would again come to the pure Vaishnavas. With folded hands, Lord Chaitanya would say, please let me go to Sri Vrindavan Dham. Now we all agreed that just after Janmashtami, they said, but Radhastami is coming. How can you go now? You can go just after Radhastami. We'll have such a good festival. Please just be here for Radhastami. So Lord Chaitanya says, okay, let's have a Radhastami festival. So there's a huge Radhastami festival and it's wonderful. And afterwards, then Lord Chaitanya came with folded hands to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ram Ananda Roy, two of the greatest devotees in Jagannath Puri with the Lord at that time, and said, please give me permission to go to Sri Vrindavan Dham. I want to roll in the dust of Vrindavan. I want to see the holy Govardhan and Jamuna. Lord Chaitanya's heart was always feeling intense separation from Sri Vrindavan Dham. So the Vaishnava said, yes, no problem, but now Kartik is coming. The Damodar Lila, you can't leave now. Kartik is just around the corner. So then Lord Chaitanya said, okay, we'll have a beautiful Kartik festival. Kartik is one of the topmost festivals, worshipping Damodar, the beautiful form of Krishna, his baby form. Cherubic baby Damodar in Vrindavan. It's so, everyone's heart is captivated by the Damodar Lila. When it comes here, we will be singing. We actually, for a whole month, we sing the beautiful song of Damodar. Nama Vishvaran Satchit Anandarupam Lasat Kundalango Kule Rajamanam. So usually the devotees are totally enchanted by this. It's such a beautiful festival. So after that festival, again, Lord Chaitanya came with folded hands. Please, now I've satisfied your desire. Many festivals have gone by, and half a year has gone by. Please let me go to Vrindavan. And Ramana Roy said, but now it's very cold in Vrindavan. You will suffer. Please just stay a little bit, and then you can go. So after that, then when it warmed up, then there's the Dole Yatra festival, and so many. So for 2 years, they succeeded. Just see how expert the devotees are. For 2 years, they kept Lord Chaitanya from going. So finally, Lord Chaitanya said, he came to them with folded hands, I understand that you love me so much, but now please stop all these tricks. I must go to Vrindavan. So they agreed, yes, you can go to Vrindavan, but we'll all go with you. And actually he did, he took them. He took, with hundreds of thousands of devotees, they all went in a great jubilation. But Sanatan Goswami is so pure, he told Lord Chaitanya, with folded hands, he said, you can't go to Vrindavan in this way, with a huge, it's like a show, like a magician with his show. You can't go to Vrindavan, which is a very solitary and meditative place. You should go with one or two associates only. So then Lord Chaitanya went back to Jagannath Puri, and then the problem is, which associate? Everyone wanted to go. I'll go. Nityananda said, I know all the paths in Sri Vrindavan Dham. I spent so many years there. Let me go with you. And everyone, each devotee, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, if a thunderbolt falls on my head or if my son dies, I can tolerate. But how can I tolerate your absence? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was, externally speaking, a Mayavadi. And then he was converted. He was given ecstatic love of God, and he couldn't tolerate not seeing Lord Chaitanya every day. He would invite Lord Chaitanya. He would make all kinds of arrangements to invite Lord Chaitanya to his home. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I'll go. And then Advaita Acharya said, I will go. And everyone said, I will go. But then again, Lord Chaitanya said, Sanatana Goswami has instructed me. He was so advanced, he could even instruct Lord Chaitanya. So I cannot take everyone with me. This is not the right mood, so I have to only take some. So it has to be a new person. It cannot be anyone else. It cannot be any of my associates, because each of the associates will be brokenhearted if he can't go. So they selected one pure-hearted Brahmin, a pure devotee from Bengal named Balabhadra Bhattacharya. He was a new devotee, basically. He had just come to join Lord Chaitanya. So he was pure-hearted, and he would be the associate. He would go with Lord Chaitanya. So then Lord Chaitanya, even after all that, he thought, I'd better leave in the middle of the night because everyone will go with me anyway. They had so much love for Lord Chaitanya because Lord Chaitanya was so kind. He was so... His qualities are just... We cannot even describe the qualities. He's Mahavadanya. He's the most magnanimous. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Vradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tushe Namaha. So no one could tolerate the separation. So Lord Chaitanya, he got up in the middle of the night and left. And then he went by a back route, just in case the devotees would try to follow him. The same when Ramchandra, he left Ayodhya, he had to do clever backtracking through the river Sarayu, because everyone, they couldn't tolerate living. They said, let Kaikeyi stay alone. If she wants to banish Ram, then we'll all go. She can live alone in the city, accompanied by snakes and scorpions. So they were all this. Whenever you get the association of the Supreme Lord, this is so, such a wonderful, rare experience. The Lord comes so rarely to this planet. So he left in the middle of the night and he went through the forest of Jarikanda, traveling only with Balabhadra Bhattacharya and one unnamed Brahmin who was carrying his water pot and clothes. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya would collect roots and fruits to cook for him. So as they were traveling through the forest, various animals were there. And Lord Chaitanya, he just unleashed his full potencies. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that he did not unleash his full potencies in Navadvip because there were so many nayikas and logicians and bhattacharyas and chakravartis and puffed up people. So he crushed their false egos in debate. That's how Lord Chaitanya dealt with the Mishras, Bhattacharyas, Chakravartis, and other proud personalities who they assume a huge title, like professor, Harvard professor. They were so puffed up. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains in great detail how the holy place of Navadvip had so many puffed up scholars. So Lord Chaitanya just smashed them in debate. But he didn't give love of God so easily in Navadvip. Not too many people did he give ecstatic love. But in South India, he unleashed his full potencies, and also in Jarikanda. In Jarikanda, he made tigers and deer dance and jump. And he made the deer and the tigers embrace each other. It says, Alingana. And then the most miraculous thing, it says, Chumbana. They began kissing each other. The tigers and the deer began kissing, mouth to mouth. They were kissing each other. It says in Madhula chapter 17, and Lord Chaitanya was just laughing to see all the fun. The tigers and deer were kissing, and Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he was in complete ecstasy. I've never seen a pastime like this. And when they finally got back from the tour, he told all the other devotees about it. The tigers and deer were kissing each other. How long will the deer hang around the tigers? How many microseconds? But this is, you know, it's completely impossible. They forgot that they were deer, and the tigers forgot that they were tigers. Even though they were in the tamaguna, they were instantly elevated to the highest level of Vishuddhasattva. From tamaguna all the way up, instantly, Lord Chaitanya had so much potency, of course, unlimited potency. And this occasion, he showed his unlimited potency in maximum mercy to all these animals, and they just forgot they were animals. Last few classes, we've been talking so much about bodily identification. This is the ultimate in getting free from bodily identification. The deer, they forgot that the tigers were tigers. They just saw them as spirit souls, let's embrace each other. And the tigers, they didn't feel like eating the deer for the first time in who knows how long. they were all just full of love and ecstatic love. Everyone was embracing each other. And Lord Chaitanya was laughing to see the fun that he had created. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya was struck with wonder. He just couldn't believe what he was seeing. And on another occasion, he went to a river. Lord Chaitanya went to bathe in a river, and there were some maddened elephants there, it's described. The elephants were maddened, not with love of God. They were very angry. They were in an angry mood. And Lord Chaitanya splashed water on them and ordered them to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And the elephants whose bodies were touched by the water, drops of water, from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they began rolling in ecstasy and trumpeting loudly the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. To the best of their capacity, they were chanting. And they began rolling on the ground in ecstasy. And some were screaming in ecstasy. That's described in Madhula chapter 17. So instead of being maddened with material anxiety or whatever their cause was, they became mad with ecstatic love of God. All these elephants and tigers and so many other animals. Such are the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the true platform of unity. Whatever differences we may have with other devotees can't be as great a difference as the difference between the tigers and deer. The universal platform of unification is the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and worship of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the process for purifying the heart. So thank you very much. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. It was wonderful. I have a question about Lord Vishnu and his internal consort Lakshmi. Isn't it an offense to say that Lakshmi is actually a demigod when she's the internal consort of Vishnu?
There may be a an expansion of the original Lakshmi, who is a demigoddess. Sometimes the demigod, sometimes the pure associates expand themselves. There's a purport, I can't remember exactly where, I need to do more research. Definitely we know from Adi Lila chapter 4 that the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha, it is directly stated, are expansions of the transcendental form of Srimati Radharani. So therefore they're not jivas, they're in Srimati Radharani's own special Shakti Tattva, Ladini Shakti Tattva. All the queens in Dvarka, all the gopis are expansions of Radharani, and the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha, they're expansions of the transcendental form of Srimati Radharani herself. So they should not be viewed as demigods. On the other hand, they can further expand. There's Ananda in Vaikuntha, who's an expansion of Nanda Maharaj in Goloka Vrindavan. These things are very tricky. Everything's, and also in Krishna book, when I forget the name, there's an expansion of Nanda Maharaj who underwent austerities in the material world to get Krishna as his son. But he's an expansion, he's not the original. I have to do some research. Your question is excellent. It's an excellent question. And I'm delighted that you're reading the Shastra so closely. I need to do some research to answer the question properly.
Can I ask you another question? I don't know, this might be speculation, but is it necessary to worship God as Kali or Durga by doing animal sacrifice? I heard that it wasn't necessary, that there's still worship done of Kali or Goddess Durga without animal sacrifice, because she's considered the protector goddess Durga.
I'm not expert in Kali or Durga worship, because the Shastras in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that's for Alpa Medasa, those who have very little brain substance. Alpa means little and Medasa means brain. So Krishna says that's for the retards. To put it politely. So Vaishnavs, the reason we join the ashram is we're more intelligent. We understand that material existence itself is undesirable. So we're not... Prabhupada told us to steer clear of deity worship. Deva worship, worship of the demigods. Because we're worshipping Krishna. He's the origin of the demigods. They're all servants. The demigods are satisfied. Lakshmi Devi and Saraswati and Durga, they're totally satisfied. We were just reading earlier. When the rascals wanted to decapitate Jada Bharat, so God is Kali, she chastised them. You rascals, what are you doing? Here's a pure devotee of the Lord. The pure devotees of Vishnu are infinitely superior. So I don't know the details of Durga worship. And I don't think we should do any research into it. It suffices to say that we don't do that. And it's not recommended anywhere in Shastra. It's only for less intelligent people to worship demigods. It's a concession for persons who cannot control their senses. A concession, not a recommendation.
Prabhu, you were talking about Lord Chaitanya in Bengal and then going to South India and having better results. I was also, I'm not just, the Bengalis are considered to be kind of argumentative and there's one thing that came to mind. In 1911, the British government made the capital Delhi instead of Calcutta because Calcutta was such a volatile place. And that just kind of, reverberated that the Bengalis are a different breed.
I truly am not expert on the local details of India. But on the other side, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there, Nityananda appeared there, all of our acharyas, all the great acharyas, Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Prabhupada chose to appear there. So Bengal must be special.
Yeah, I heard that if Prabhupada said that, if Lord Chaitanya could convince these people, then the other people would be, easy. So that's why they were in Bengal.
That may be true. I'm not expert on this point.
Hare Krishna.
But interestingly enough, in the Leelamrita, there's a very funny pastime. When Prabhupada came to Calcutta in 1970 to preach, there were a group of Calcutta people named the Naxalites. They were communists, and they threatened Prabhupada. They said, fly or die. They sent a note, fly or die. In other words, if you don't leave, we're going to kill you. And they were very aggressive. They had weapons. They came to Prabhupada's pandal, and they tried to make a disturbance. Something, yeah. They. Prabhupada was fearless. Abhay Charan, the very name Abhay means fearless. Abhay means fearless in Sanskrit. Abhay Charanara, because he's fearless because he's situated at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Abhay Charanara. Abhay Charanara Vinda. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta added the Aravinda to his name when he initiated him in 1933. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Next, I like.